Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
The BBC's annual report is due out today, but the Director General, Tim Davie, will face questions about allegations about one of its presenters who allegedly paid a young person tens of thousands of pounds for sexually explicit images. Now, the story took a twist yesterday evening because the person involved released a statement through their lawyers saying that the story published in The Sun, quoting the mother and stepfather, is rubbish. Well, I'm joined now by Professor Stephen Barnett of the Westminster School of Media and Communication. Stephen, thank you for joining us on the programme. So to the statement first last night, which I think took everybody by surprise, saying that the story in its entirety is rubbish. Where is all this morning?
Well, I mean, I have to say, I don't think we should be entirely surprised, because this whole story has been driven by The Sun. And I think there are two things we have to remember about The Sun. First of all, it is not always particularly good at reporting undiluted facts. And secondly, it has an agenda, a very long-standing anti-BBC corporate agenda driven by its proprietor. So the idea that we should always have taken this story entirely at face value, I'm afraid, never sat comfortably with me. And it was not a surprise to me when it emerged last night that actually what we were getting was a very one-sided version of a complicated story. And I think we have to be very careful, because there are individuals involved here who may or may not be vulnerable, there are certainly reputations at stake. And these are issues that The Sun, frankly, does not care about, and is much more concerned about driving forward a story that generates clicks, generates circulation increases, and suits its own agenda. So that's a sort of, it hasn't really answered your question, which is, where are we? Where we are is in a very complicated position where we simply do not know the facts. We don't know what the BBC was told in May by this young person's mother and stepfather. We don't know what conversations they had with the BBC. We have The Sun's version of that. The BBC, in my view, is quite rightly taking its time to establish exactly what happened. Were internal procedures followed? Were proper internal protocols followed? If there was an issue about a young person's vulnerability, was that taken into account? We don't know anything about how reliable the mother and stepfather's account is. What we do know is that there is clearly a division of opinion between the young person involved and their mother and stepfather. And anyone who's had anything to do with adult children, and I have two adult kids of my own, will tell you that adult children and their parents will often disagree on what is appropriate conduct, what is appropriate things to say, and whose side we're on. Whether we want to pass judgment on what is right or wrong has got to wait until we hear the facts.
Yeah, and you've outlined the questions that The Sun needs to address in all of this. But for the BBC, when an allegation of this kind is made, it's really important that we know what exactly they did and when, and what their actions, or lack of action, if that's where we're at, what they were predicated on.
Yes, of course it is. But when I watch the BBC's coverage of this, I'm tearing my hair out, because all the BBC focuses on is what should the BBC be doing. And of course there are questions, but there are massive questions about The Sun, about the procedures that it followed, about the care that it has taken, about the people involved. But yes, the BBC, you know, like RTE, is a public body. It's accountable. It needs to be scrutinised. There is public money involved, and we need to know to what extent it followed internal procedures, that those internal procedures were appropriate, that did somebody drop the ball, were legitimate concerns ignored. These are questions that need to be answered. And, you know, in this case, I actually trust the BBC management and the BBC internally to do this properly and thoroughly, but also with sensitivity to the individuals involved. I don't trust the Sun to do that.
Now, there's a whole other side to this story as well, and we're working in a two-speed economy when it comes to information, because people who use social media will have seen all the speculation about who this might be. There are other people who believe they know who the person is now. It's a very strange environment, isn't it, Stephen, that we're operating in, where this person hasn't been named on radio, in television and the newspapers, but that this person's name is everywhere on social media.
It is. And I think that is grossly unfair to the presenter involved. I think it's grossly unfair to the young person involved, both of whom are legally entitled to their privacy at the moment under the law, but also I think morally, I think it's deeply unfair, and I'm afraid. Of course, everyone's curious. You know, we all like to peer behind the curtains, and we all like to know what's going on. But I'm afraid, and you're right. That is the age of social media, and there are certainly tabloid editors and former tabloid editors banging the table and say how outrageous it is that we can't name this person. Well, it's not outrageous at all. It is, frankly, the right, not only the legal, but the humane thing to do. And there is a difference. There is a real difference between something being out there on social media, which many people would have seen and there would have been speculation, and actually naming them in the mainstream media, which is the point at which it's more than something going viral. It becomes part of the mainstream conversation.
And
so I think it's right that we don't name them. But of course you're right that it's a weird situation, mm-hmm. where the name is circulating on the internet.
And the BBC annual report is due out today, but of course it's going to be eclipsed, you would imagine, almost entirely by this thing.
Yes, and as I say, I am sure that Tim Davie, the Director General, will have prepped, will have found out exactly what the BBC has done, what the BBC knows. He'll have to be very careful, because if there is we know that there is an internal investigation going on, so he will not want to prejudice that and preempt that. So he's going to have to be very careful. And I do hope that the MPs who question him will have some sensitivity to the individuals who are involved here and will not just follow the Sun's agenda of banging the table and saying, isn't the BBC disgraceful? Why is this taking so much time? And isn't it about time we knew the names? That this needs to be handled properly and professionally and sensitively. And as I say, I trust the BBC to do that. I hope that the MPs concerned will follow that line. Will ask questions, quite rightly, hold the BBC to account, but will accept that the response is.
Well, you mentioned the MPs involved who will be questioning Tim Davies today, but the Daily Mail reports that some MPs have said to them that they may move to use parliamentary privilege to name the presenter involved. Now, surely even since last night, when we've got to think that story was put together last night, those MPs will look at what has happened over the last number of hours and pull back from that position.
Well, I certainly hope so, Claire, because it would be grossly irresponsible and incredibly insensitive. And the only reason for any MP to do that is for their own self-gratification and publicity. This is all about their own egos. Any MP, frankly, who goes ahead and uses and actually abuses parliamentary privilege to name any individuals, I think would be an utter disgrace. And I sincerely hope that they understand the consequences of doing something like that. The only reason for doing it is, as I say, for their own self-aggrandizement. I hope if they do that, they will suffer the consequences.
All right, well, we'll see this. I'm sure this story will develop over the course of today, certainly when we hear from Tim Davies later on. But now, Stephen Barnett, thank you very much for your time, and we appreciate you talking to us again. That's Professor Stephen Barnett from the Westminster School of Media and Communication.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.